We're going to talk to you this morning about how to handle difficult times. And we begin with the Word of God, Psalm 62. If you have a Bible, follow along as I read the entire Psalm, Psalm 62. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts. Let all that I am wait quietly before God. For my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O, my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. Common people are as a worthless puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on the scales, they are lighter than a breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I've heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to You. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is Yours. Surely You will repay all people according to what they have done. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. A man was sitting at home one evening when there came a knock at the door. He answered the door, and there is standing in front of him on his porch a 6-foot-tall cockroach. Cockroach immediately punched him between the eyes and ran away. The next night, the man's at home sitting alone, and once again the doorbell rings, and when he answers the door, there's the 6-foot-tall cockroach again. This time it punched him, kicked him, and karate chopped him before he ran away. The third night, and these stories always take place in threes, don't they? The third night, he's sitting at home alone, and there's a knock at the door. And he goes to the door, and there's that 6-foot-tall cockroach. And this time he leaps at him and beats him and leaves him bloody. The man crawls back in the house, finds his phone, dials 911. The ambulance crew arrives. They rush him to the hospital. And as he's being treated in the hospital, the doctor asks what happened. And the man describes the three nights and the 6-foot cockroach. And the doctor thought about it for a minute and said, "Yeah, there's a nasty bug going around. Come on, you get the hubcap joke." Thank you. There may be some of you who feel like there's a nasty bug going around. There are times in life when it seems like we're being kicked, punched, stabbed by the events and the happenings of life. They're hard times. When life is pressing and distressing, things are hard to deal with. Things are difficult to face and hard to handle. And Psalm 62 was written for us, for those hard times. The background of Psalm 62 is an occasion in David's life which was one of the most difficult times he ever faced. His son Absalom has overthrown him. David has escaped from Jerusalem for his life. And Absalom has sent out thousands to look for David. And when they catch him, he'll be executed. And this time he writes this song. Disturbing, distressing, a hard place for David. And Psalm 62 tells us what David does in this difficult period of his life. And it's reading the psalm, it's like David is giving us instructions as to what we're to do in difficult times in our life. What do we do when hard times come? Let me suggest to you this morning three things that from this psalm that we can apply when hard times come. First of all, wait for the Lord. David begins the psalm by saying, I wait quietly before God. Why was he content to wait quietly before God? Because he found salvation. He'd made that change that Rodney was talking about, that inside change. He listened to the wooing of the Holy Spirit and he'd given his life and his direction over to God. And he says, my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I'll never be shaken. Now think who's saying this. Think who's bringing this psalm. And think who's written this song for us to sing and for us to read this morning. David, King of Israel. You remember the time when he went up to visit his brothers in battle and they're hunkered down because the bad guys are on this side, they're on this side, and the bad guys have a giant on their side, and he comes out every day and he says, send out one of your men to fight me, and the winner takes all. And the Israelites are afraid. And David says, look, Saul, I'll take this guy on because God delivered me from a bear, God delivered me from a lion, and I know he'll deliver me from this giant from Gath. Later on, David's on the throne. Now he's not. And think about all of the things that David could have relied on, that David could have looked back to declare his strength, his support, his help. And he says, God alone is my salvation, my fortress, where I'll never be shaken. He no longer has that sling and the five smooth stones. He no longer has the throne and the scepter and the power of being king. But he says, God alone is my rock and my salvation. I've been delivered. That's what salvation means. I've been delivered. And when David spoke of the Lord as being his salvation, he was declaring, God is my deliverer. He knew that in difficult times, God could deliver him. And he practically repeats that in verse 5, but the difference is significant. Let all that I am wait quietly before the Lord, for my hope is in him. The first time it's his salvation, the second time it's his hope. Some translations say his expectation. My expectation is in God. And that expectation, that word describes how we're waiting. You remember being a kid on Christmas Eve? And you couldn't wait for Christmas morning? When Kyle and I were little guys back home at 117 Shenandoah Avenue, we'd go to bed before the Christmas tree was put up. Mom and Dad would put up the Christmas tree and decorate the Christmas tree and then put out the presents. And knowing his sons, our bedroom was in the back, Mom and Dad's bedroom was in the front. Knowing his sons, Dad would push the bed across the room so we couldn't get out unless we went under the bed or over the bed. Do you remember that anticipation? Do you remember that expectation? David says, that's my expectation. That's my hope as I'm waiting quietly on the Lord. And literally the word for hope or expectation in Hebrew means a cord or a line. And it's the same word that's used in Joshua chapter 2, verse 18. You remember the story. The spies have come over to Jericho. They've hidden at Rahab's house. And the king's looking for them. He sent out men. And she says, we'll tie this rope around the window. You can escape out that way and go and hide until the search is off. That's the same word that David is using. And it says, though God lets down a rope at times when we need help, when we need relief, when the enemy is about to capture us, God lets down a rope to let us out of difficult situations. Paul talks about that. If you still have your Bible out, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul talks about the rope, the safety, the escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. If you think you're standing strong, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different than what others have experienced. But God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. One translation says that God will provide you a landing place. And I don't think I ever read that psalm that passage from 1 Corinthians since I found that particular translation. I think it was the Amplified. That I don't think about Apollo 11 and the first landing on the moon. Neil Armstrong's flying the limb down. He's looking for a safe place to land. And there's boulders and there's craters. And he keeps flying. And with 2 seconds of fuel left, he finally puts the limb down. He's found a landing place. He's found a safe place. A place where he won't crash. And the Bible says that's what God does for us. While we're waiting, while we're trusting, while we're hoping, while we're expecting, He provides a way for us to escape, a landing place that we can get through the hard times. And that word, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man, as the King James phrases it. Somebody somewhere has faced that. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are. He knew difficult times. He knew hard times. He's experienced it. And there's that rope. There's that line. There's that hope. There's that expectation that we have. He's my fortress. He's my defense. He's my strong tower. And the picture is of a fortress built on a cliff where there's no way to get up, no way to get in, and strong defenses around the front. Literally a place of security that God has put him in. And again, David says twice in verses 2 and 6, I shall not be shaken. In the Lord, he has found the strength that he needs to face whatever is going to come his way. We can find the same source. Now, the second thing that Psalm 62 says that we can do when we find ourselves in hard and difficult times is to trust in the Lord. Verse 8, O my people, trust in Him at all times, is David's next exhortation. To trust in the Lord is a command that's given often in Scripture, and David gives specific instructions as to how we're to do that. Trust is to be continual. Trust in Him at all times. Not like those times when we pray for relief and And we see an opening. We say, okay, God, I can handle this now by myself. No, trust at Him at all times. In bad times, as well as good times. And there may be times when we cannot trace Him, but never is there a moment when we cannot trust Him. I want you to look at another scripture. This time from the book of Job, chapter 23. And if ever there's anyone in Scripture who is facing difficult times, hard times, it's Job. You know the story. First, all of his animals are killed or stolen. Secondly, all of his servants are killed. And third, the worst of all, the house where his 10 children are meeting for a birthday party is destroyed by a hurricane or a cyclone out of the desert. And all 10 are killed. And in that, he says in chapter 23, verse 3. We'll start at verse 2. My complaint today is still a bitter one, and I try hard not to groan aloud. If only I knew where to find God, I would come to His court. I would lay out my case and present my arguments. Then I would listen to His reply and understand what He says to me. Would He use His great power against me? No, He would give me a fair hearing. Honest people can reason with Him, so I would be forever acquitted by my judge. I go east, but He's not there. I go west, but I cannot find Him. I do not see Him in the north, for He's hidden. And to the south, but He's concealed. But He knows, verse 10, where I am going. And when He tests me, I shall come forth as gold. For I've stayed on God's paths. I followed His ways and not turned aside. Go back to that third verse where Job says, oh, that I knew where I might find Him. The King James Version says, I would come even unto His seat. And that word in Hebrew is pointing not to the mercy seat that the writer of Hebrews will talk about in chapter 4, verse 16, but to the judgment seat, where we know from Scripture at the last days all humanity will stand before. And Job says, if the only place I can go to find God is the judgment seat, I'm going to go there because I want to find God. That's the most important thing I can do. That's what I need. That's what my soul needs. I trust in the Lord. If that's the only place I can find Him, that's where I'm going to go. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And our text, verse 10, says, if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. If you get a big raise, don't trust your life on that. If your stock portfolio soars, don't put your trust in that. If you hit the lottery, don't put your trust in that. I remember a few years ago, the lottery was one of those astronomical numbers. And talking to Kyle before that drawing was made, I said, bro, I have told God that if He lets me win that lottery, I'm going to give Him 90%. I'm going to keep 10%. And Kyle said, what makes you think that He's going to believe you over all those other liars? Well, listen to a couple of stories. Laura and Roger Griffiths hit the British lottery for $2.7 million. They bought a million-dollar house. They bought a Porsche. They took great vacations. They were living high on the hog. And then fire hit, burned down the house. They didn't have enough insurance. They had to move into lesser digs, lesser place to live. They scrambled and scraped for repairs. They were constantly at each other's throat, fighting and arguing. And one day Roger got in the Porsche and drove away. The neighbors said he was driving away to meet his girlfriend that he'd found. And their 14-year marriage was over. $2.75 million didn't help. Bud Post, here in the United States, won $16.2 million. But within a year, he was $1 million in debt. Former girlfriend suing for a third of his winnings. His brother was arrested for trying to hire a hitman to kill him so he'd get part of the money. A debt collector came and he pointed a gun at the debt collector and got arrested and put in jail for it. And when he came out of jail, he was broke and lived on $450 a month for the rest of his life and said, "I was never happier than when I was broke. The 16.2 didn't bring me happiness." Don't trust in wealth if it increases. Don't trust in miracle things, material things, but trust in the Lord. And finally, when we find ourselves faced with hard and difficult times, the psalmist says, "Pour out your heart to the Lord." Verse 8. Pour out your heart to the Lord. And that's the final directive that we'll examine this morning. David is telling us when hard times come, we need to talk to the Lord. How do we do that? We pour out our hearts to Him. And that word heart, pour out, is literally to spill forth. You remember watching some of those old-time movies when there was an oil well that came in, there was a gusher, and that oil just squirted up out of the ground, and it reaches a height of 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet. Because it had been under pressure and all at once it burst out. Literally, that's what David is talking about. Pour out your heart to God. Let the problems, let the difficulties spur you to pour out your heart to God, knowing that it's going to get as high as God is, and He'll hear and He'll answer. I mentioned this a moment ago, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We're invited to come to the throne of grace. I looked on eBay this morning for invitations to a presidential inauguration ball. Years ago, one of our uncles was high up in New Jersey politics. And when John Kennedy was elected president, he got an invitation to the ball. Well, he got an invitation with a lot of other folks, but he got an invitation to the ball. And I was wondering, what are invitations to presidential balls worth? Because Hebrews says we're invited to the throne of God, the mercy seat. And I found one being offered for sale for the inauguration ball for Abraham Lincoln. It's listed on eBay if you're interested. For $4,687.50. Plus shipping. $4,687 and you got to pay for shipping. There's one on there for William Henry Harrison. His inaugural ball. $2,812 is the invitation to the ball if you want to buy that one. And you don't have $4,000, you got two. Well, there's one of Richard Nixon for $10, with one of Ronald Reagan for $15. But what's the invitation worth to the throne of mercy? where we've been invited to pour out our hearts to God. Are you having a hard time this morning? Tell the Lord about it. Are you struggling with what's going on in your life? Tell the Lord about it. Do you feel you've gone as far as you can go? Tell the Lord about it. Do you need His healing touch? Tell the Lord about it. Miss Carolyn, would you come and play for us, please? We're going to sing hymn number 383. All four verses. This is a song that years ago I was going through a difficult time, and there were three songs that I played over and over again, three hymns. And I think this was number one on my list. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He surely will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Wait for the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Pour out your heart to the Lord. You can trust Him.
A moment ago,
I was sharing a passage with you that says, trust in the Lord. And Ron has given my allowance to me for this week. I've got $10. And on the back of it, it says, in God we trust. Now you go to the grocery store, or you go to Walmart, or you go wherever it is you go, and you hand them that $10 bill, you're confident that they're going to take that, and the groceries or the shirt or whatever it is you bought, they're going to accept that as payment. We were at a place just recently where this register was for cash only. And you believe in God we trust on the money. When you're having difficult times, go beyond that with your trust and your confidence in God. Knowing you've been invited to a place that's more precious than the most expensive presidential ball invitation ever put on anybody. And there, pour out your heart like a gusher with everything that's inside and everything that's bothering and everything that's troubling, knowing you've got a hearing that's fair and square and God knows you. And through His Son, Jesus Christ, you'll hear. Trust Him. In good times as well as bad. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father Almighty, and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.